It's showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined by my daughter producer Sam. Sup?
Not much.
Good. I don't like when things are up.
I think it's expensive, right?
Yes, it gets very expensive. Thank you to Tom Bernard and Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network for inviting us to be part of the network way back in July of 2015. If you'd like to chime in, 612-313-0289. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Brad, Sean, Bryant, always seeking justice for the injured, MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, SmartStartMN.com. If you or someone you know has experienced DUI, get in touch with Smart Start. They will get you back on the road seamlessly. Also, MyPillow, Chanticleer Pizza, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, our pals over at ColdOmaha.com, the place to go for local sports information. We're joined today. This is a record for Bryans and O'Briens in the same room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have man out. Comic slash comedian slash witticist.
Yes.
Brian with a Y, Miller.
Title.
Yes.
We have
all the time.
Inside Brewery owner with some of the neatest combinations I've heard for beer, Brian Berge from Inside Brewery, Jeff O'Brien with it, and Brian is with an I-A-N, right?
It is, yes.
And Jeff O'Brien with an I-E-N in the
That's
O'Brien,
right.
Though Brian with a Y points out it doesn't count when it's an O. It could be anything, right?
Yeah, it's okay then.
I have seen one, I think, O-B-R-Y-A-N, but not many of them. So that one, Jeff O'Brien, he has set up one of our guests will be on the phone with us, Senator Dave Durenberger. Also, Kelly in Vegas will join us. We'll have Ruth Lorden on a bit later. Now, I got to ask, because I came across a story just a little bit ago, and I want to get your impressions on it. Now, are all of you familiar with CAIR, C-A-I-R?
Mm-hmm.
It's the group...
Council for was American Islamic Relations.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Well, they are petitioning the International Boxing Federation because they feel that there's a woman who wants to fight in St. Cloud,
mm-hmm.
and they're petitioning that she should be allowed to wear her hijab when she boxes. Now, my feeling is, if you want to do that, you have to then, I think, the only way to make it fair is the other boxer has to be given the option of wearing headgear. Maybe she could wear the hijab with headgear. But, I mean, I think it could almost be construed as an advantage. I mean, I don't know how thick these things are.
The way I see it is if she wants to wear it, she's pretty thick. I don't care.
Well, I mean, I'd be worried that the other boxer can get her fist caught in it.
I'm trying to figure out if it's better, if it would be an advantage or a disadvantage. I really don't know.
I feel like you wouldn't want to, but if, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm
just curious.
I've never worn one, so I don't know what it's like.
I haven't given it a great deal of thought, but my initial thought is you have to make it fair for both. I mean, it is a form of headgear.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you think it would help if you got hit in the head if you were wearing a... If I wrapped a scarf around your head and caught you with a brick, do you think you'd be like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good. It's a good thing I got that headgear.
We should try it at the break and we'll find out.
Well, this is what I'm getting at is... I
really don't know.
If she has it, she should wear headgear and so should the other boxer.
Don't they pretty much always wear headgear and like golden gloves type stuff anyway?
Well, the problem is what's unclear is I think it's golden gloves, but it's not clear if it is golden gloves.
You couldn't do it with like MMA because it'd be too easy to... You know? Mm-hmm. It's like I'm always baffled when any NFL player has like dreadlocks. Or hair that hangs out of their helmet, because it's legal to tackle someone by the hair. Why would you ever risk that? That's insane.
Well, you're going to lose those nice dreadlocks, which most of it is.
Remember last season?
You come away with a fistful.
Was it Marshawn Lynch, wasn't it? It was a whole dread with like a bloody piece of scalp attached to it when somebody tackled him by the dreadlocks.
What about the beard if you get...
I don't know. Is it too close to a face mask? Can you grab somebody by the beard?
Well, it's hair. It's facial hair.
If you don't touch the face mask, then it wouldn't be a face mask penalty. Right?
You know what would be tougher, though? If Gerald Wilhite had that kind of hair, he might have been playing several years later. He's the one that Browner grabbed from behind on the back of his shoulder pads and just yanked him down.
Given how strong Joey was,
he would have went through the dreadlocks.
I think he would have snapped his neck.
Yeah. He would have pulled back on that.
Maybe just decapitate him there right on the field.
It was Jerry Burns, the coach at the time for the Vikings, often said, which is why he wanted Joey Browner as his last line of defense on punt returns and kickoff returns, that the two players in all the years he coached that had the strongest grips were Joey Browner and Alan Page. because he said they both were unbelievably strong at hand strength.
I remember Joey had a problem on punt returns that he was too fast. Remember there was a couple times where he ran into the punt returner before the ball got there. He used to have to like try to hit the brakes before he got there. Otherwise, he was going to knock into the return man before the ball even landed.
Cordero's been almost doing that. It looks like he almost has to dial up a half step on those
special teams. Well, because he's so damn fast.
I know. He's just there. It's like he's on a different stadium by the time the punt lands.
It's also – I guess it's kind of good and refreshing to see that they found things he can do to contribute, and he's starting to catch the ball a bit,
yeah,
too.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm excited for Cordero. I think it's, yeah, finally.
So, now, do any of you – now, Brian, you obviously – you're a Viking fan.
Yes, very much so.
Do any of you think that the – I thought a few weeks ago this could be a tougher game than it appears to be because Philadelphia is struggling, and I think that they're going to get to Carson Wentz for the first time, and I don't think it's going to go well for the Eagles.
I feel good about it. I feel real strong about it.
I think you
it's
should.
It's confusing because
yeah.
you have two Bryans on either side of you, and it's not like whoever's listening knows.
Okay,
what
how about
you're talking
this
about.
Brian feels
Hi,
good
Brian.
Too.
Why Brian?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Brian.
Perfect.
I feel pretty confident about it. There's always the X factor is they're playing in Philadelphia. You've mm-hmm. got the Philly defense is still pretty decent. They may want to try to go at Sam just to kind of prove the to kind of have their quarterbacks back and try to prove that it was a good deal, but you know. I like our chances. I think it's going to be a tough game, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a for sure win.
Not
I think it's going to be a low scoring. Don't you think?
I think so.
I don't think it's going to be a real high score. It's 2017 maybe.
I think this offense is getting better and better as long as Bradford stays healthy. The last time they played, no Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen just stepped right in, and you wouldn't know that he was even missing.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's starting to get to know these receivers, and if he stays healthy, it could be a sensational season for the Vikings. When you take a step back and look at that schedule, the only two games, and I'll put the Packers, aside from that one on mm-hmm. Christmas Eve, the Cowboys and the Cardinals. I do think they will get to Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. the Cowboys that Whew. Would be the team
Cowboys
when you look at it with concern.
Well, that could turn out to be a playoff matchup.
Well, it could, and that offensive line they will move some of these Viking linemen. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could move some bodies.
Yeah,
but it's the benefit for the Vikings though. Both those games are here.
The wild card will be is if Jerry Jones is foolish enough to insist that Tony Romo go back in mm-hmm. when he's healthy.
Well, they've already said that Prescott is going to be the starter when they come out of the bye. He's supposedly ready.
We'll see. It's Jerry.
The smart thing is, though.
Yeah, right.
You let Prescott
the
play.
The smart thing would be let Prescott play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not what – smart thing and Jerry Jones don't always equate.
But you know what? Maybe what they should do is just put Romo in. One or two plays, he's going out
again.
And he'll be done. And the argument is over. Yep. Right? I mean, honestly, look what – you saw the video of how he got hurt the last time.
Oh, it looked like a nothing tackle.
No, it wasn't. He just felt – he was on his butt, and he just bent over, and he was suddenly done.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. Now, Brian, you had mentioned when we were on the end of Tom's show, you've got – I really wish I drank because they're very tantalizing. You have – give us the ingredients of those two beers you brought in from Inside Brewing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. So the first beer, it's called Hell Chicken. It's our pale ale with yuzu fruit. And yuzu fruit is a cross between a kind of a mandarin orange and a grapefruit. The other one is Sunken City, and it's our Belgian Saison that blends Sauvignon Blanc with it. So
it's like a wine beer.
I think that's the fanciest thing that's ever been in the studio.
I beg your pardon. I'm wearing my finest Hawaiian-themed shirt.
Now, if people want more information, they can go to Insight, then INSIGHT, brewing.com.
Yep. Absolutely.
And how many different beers do you have?
We have 5 year rounds, and then we have about 6 seasonals.
So. I've got one for you for the day after Election Day.
All right.
You make it, and you just say it's your post-election for the post-election blues, a little bitter. So you need something that's a little bitter. For the people who lost, they want to cry in their beers. So you got to give them a beer to cry in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, people drink during good times. They drink more during bad times. So that's perfect.
Some kind of you'll come up with some clever name. Maybe mm-hmm. Brian could help. That's what the why.
Trumpkin spice.
Trumpkin spice. There you go.
Trumpkin spice beer. There you go.
That's pretty good.
I guess you're probably figuring it won't be Clinton spice.
That was really quick.
No, she's going to win.
Well, if you believe the stories of it being rigged, I'm sure she will.
Yeah, right.
That's what it is. Is the inner city, those overempowered inner city people are going to rig the election, Those people who've been had their loud voice the whole time. It's a decentralized election. To rig the election, you have to rig it at a 50-state level. You need 50 versions of it.
All I have to do is go to the states that it's going to be close and do a little damage.
I'm not too worried about it. I don't think you have to. You don't have to worry about rigging an election where somebody goes out of their way to turn off 51% of the electorate out of the gate.
That's what's going to make it so interesting.
I do have a beer-related question, though.
Sure.
And I don't know, you're the closest thing to a beer expert that I have encountered in a long time, so you're a good person to ask.
Excuse me.
Okay, he represents 50 breweries.
Jeff is right here.
I haven't seen you in a week, so where have you been?
Nice, well, she Sam. Said the closest. I'm physically
closer. You're physically closer.
Yeah,
physically closer. I've been hearing a lot about different like citrus beers, and I don't know anything about beer, but I've been hearing a lot about citrus beers over like just the last few days. Mm-hmm. Is that like a seasonal thing? Because I've heard about like several different breweries that are putting out citrus flavored beers. Is that like a trend, or is that a seasonal thing for this time of year?
Well, it's definitely a trend when it comes to the the hop profile. People really like hops that have that citrus character to it. So there are a couple hops that come to mind, Mosaic and Citra, that really dial that up. In addition, brewers are doing a lot of different experimentation with different ingredients and adding actual citrus to the mm-hmm. beer itself. So it could go both ways. We have a citrus IPA called Trollway, and that has a lot of the Citra hop in it.
So okay.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it kind of does, yeah.
I have a question for Misspelled Brian. What is the weirdest ingredient that you put in a beer that you like?
I have a follow-up question when you're done with that.
That's great.
Because some beers have some weird stuff in them.
They do.
And it works improbably well. You know, you like a peanut butter beer or something.
They do,
It's really good.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not a big pumpkin fan, but I do like I like a pumpkin beer, you know. And we recently did an experimental beer, just a one-off, very, very low volume for a customer. And it was we put tater tots in the beer. I've not tried the beer yet.
That's weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Was it like Cottonish beer?
There you go.
It's like the most Minnesota
when you come
beer
out
ever.
Where were you when we were naming it?
You got to call me. You got to get me on speed dial.
When you do your sea salt caramel beer,
okay.
I'm going to start drinking.
All right.
Sea salt caramel.
What is the...
Is that a thing?
That does sound good. When you're experimenting with different beers and everything, have you ever done an experimental beer that was just tasted awful? That just didn't take off.
I'm guessing they don't have awful tasting beer at Inside Brewery.
No, I'm not saying
the sample one, like the experiment. Like,
When you're like, I wonder if this would taste good, and then you like try it, and then it just did not taste good. Not something that you like released and sold or whatever, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it kind of does. I will say this,
Are you just like so good that everything you make?
No. Everybody's got their own unique palate, and. No, the reality
That's
is
true.
You can make a really good, well-made beer that people aren't going to like. You know, so a good example is a smoked beer. A smoked beer has a flavor. Obviously, there's smoke in it. There's a lot of people that go, that's not for me. In Minnesota, we're not real big smoked beer drinkers. But you can still make a really well-executed smoked beer.
I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah.
You can have fun with a lot. Yeah. It's like when you said that, it sounds like beef jerky beer.
Ooh.
Yeah. I will say,
you're coming up with a lot of stuff, Bob. You have to step down.
One of the cool things about Insight is they have a lot of beers that you aren't going to find at any other brewery in town. I mean, Brian's partner in this, Ilan, is a mad scientist, I think, when it comes to brewing. And he's brewed a lot of breweries overseas. And, the yuzu, I think are you still the only brewery in town that does a yuzu?
To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah. They've got another Saison that's got Door County cherries in it. They've got another one that's blackberry. They've got a raspberry one.
Oh,
they've
cool.
always got, some really interesting flavor profiles.
We got a golden ale right now with coffee in it. It's called Banshee Cutter. It's going over really well.
Well, I got to ask, your partner, is that his real name?
Alon? Yep.
It's a perfect name.
Yeah,
because he has style and enthusiasm and panache.
Yeah.
Do you have another partner named Panache?
he makes whiskey.
The other guy's name. The other guy's name is Eric.
It's
spelled with a C, so Brian with a Y.
Also misspelled. Yeah. None of you guys can get your dictionary together.
Jeez. Sam, we need to make we need to take a break because we need to get Kelly on. Then we have to get the senator on. We're packed here today, but I there's so much I want to ask you. One quick question, and then we will take the break. I know someone. I ran into him. He's leaving his life here, taking his wife and his newborn baby up north. He's going to start never been a farmer in his life. He wants to start a hops farm and just raise hops. Is there...
That's the next thing coming.
Yeah, that's
because they're starting. One of the concerns is that the shortage. There's starting to become a shortage of hops from going out to.
Well, actually,
Oregon,
I told
Washington.
Them to contact you. Yeah, I don't know if you heard from them or not.
I haven't, but I appreciate it. I actually am working with one client that is doing the hop. I think. The hop growing enterprise. I think that's the next wave, especially with the agricultural history of this state. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot of locally grown hops.
All right, let me ask you a question.
To support our local breweries.
We have almost 20 acres that we use for hay. Should I turn it over to hops?
We should talk.
Let's talk. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back.